You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Alright, let's pick up where we left off with our list of Andy Rooney topics, as handled by yours truly, Pete. I'm Pete. We finished with jaywalking last time, and this time we start with shopping carts. Shopping carts. Boy, I don't want to think that my boy Andy Rooney was so hack as to be like, oh, shopping carts, they never really work, right? Because that's not very good. That's not a very interesting one. There's a lady out here begging with a sign, and she has two kids. And she has two kids and no job. You're like, boy. Weird world. You gotta wonder. I wonder what the return on your investment of time is. Panhandling with the cardboard sign, and you've got the kids. She's got the actual kids with her. One of them is crying, which is, well, it doesn't hurt. It's like, yeah, that doesn't hurt your case that, like, things are not going great for mom here. Okay. Shopping carts. I'm going to think my boy Andy Rooney had some choice things to say about shopping carts. Like, you know, all right, I have this to say about shopping carts. Honestly, this is an honest opinion. So the King Supers I go to has the big and the little shopping carts now. So sometimes, you know, you can get a big one or you can get a little one. And the little one is pretty small. I mean, it's probably a quarter the size of the big one. And I kind of think that's great. I think that is the shit. And I think that's the appropriate size for a shopping cart, especially for most shoppers. Now, if you're shopping for like a whole family and shit, you probably need more. But for someone like me, I'm like, well, this is perfect. Yeah, let's do that. Let's have that size of fucking shopping cart. Because the thing is, you don't have to take up the entire road that way. The entire aisle that way. What did I call it before? Hallway? On the last one? I was like, you don't have to take up the whole fucking hallway. And I meant aisle. And now I'm talking about the road. Like, yeah, you don't have to take up the whole road, buddy. So I like the small carts. However, the small carts have a couple problems. For one, they seem to put them away at night for some reason. They take the small carts and they're like, well, in the evening we only have the big carts, which I don't really understand. I don't know, maybe the small carts are a more tempting theft item for some reason, but I'm not totally sure about that. That seems unlikely to me. Just because why would you steal this small cart over stealing the large cart? I'm not totally convinced about that. But the other thing is, it's like, the small cart is the right size. Why don't you have like 50-50? I might even be tempted if I was the owner of a grocery store. Well, if I was the owner of a grocery store, I wouldn't do shit, because I'd be like, oh, fuck it. These proletariats can just be in misery and I don't really care what happens to them. But if I could wish what would happen, it would be that they would basically get away with most of the large carts and be like, how about you take a small cart unless you really need it? Why don't you try one of our new small carts? I think you might like it. Easier to get in, easier to get out. So there you go, shopping carts. I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed that they came up with two sizes because they don't really use the one size. Like, if you get lucky on the way into the store, you see one of the small ones hanging out in the parking lot, so you grab it and bring it in. But then when you're leaving the store, you go to push it back, and you're like, yeah, I don't know where to push this, so I'm just going to kind of put it in the general zone where the other ones are. I'll say, too, the last time I was at the grocery store, it was evening. Then the cart pusher guy was there, and he, you know, I put my cart back, and he's like, oh, thanks, man. Most people just, you know, kind of toss them around in the parking lot or put them wherever. And well, I was like, yeah, you're welcome, I guess, but it's kind of his job. But then I was also sort of like, you know, that does make me mad when people at the store, they take the cart and they just like put it next to the island of cement, or they put it like one wheel up on the cement island, and they're like, good enough. And I'm like, not good enough. That's not going to work. What do you think that's going to do? You can't be bothered to walk 10 feet to the cart corral and put it in there. Makes it so much easier for everyone involved. The only person that it bothers to do that is you for 10 seconds. So maybe it's not shopping carts. Maybe it's the way that people interact with their shopping carts that I'm very much opposed to. Well, let's see. Driveways. What could you really say about a driveway? I mean, I guess there's like the schmancy driveways, right? Where you've got the fucking full circle, or like, here's how you know if you have a fancy driveway. If you can go to the driveway and then you don't have to reverse to get out, then you've got a fancy ass driveway, my friend, and good for you. But most of us have a driveway where you can't go in and out without reversing. I always wonder, like, people with that driveway, it's like, if reverse didn't work on their car, how long would it take them to figure it out? I bet it would take a long-ass time to figure that shit out. But those are nice, I guess. I feel like, here's the thing, I feel like most people are kind of wasting the space of their property or their home in having a big driveway. Because it's like, well, how much time do you spend on the driveway? Because if you're just basically using the driveway as a tiny little street that you own that goes to your garage, you should probably have as little driveway as humanly possible. Like, wouldn't it be better to have more garage than driveway? Or, like, take up driveway with garage and then take up what would have been garage with house. I don't know. The driveway thing doesn't make sense. I feel like the long driveway, too, is the sort of standard, like, sign of wealth. Like, you've got, they've got a long private drive. I don't know why people would care about that so much. Doesn't seem like a useful thing to have. Seems like a pain in the ass. But I guess when you're, like, rich and you're doing things for status, it doesn't really matter, right? Because I just think about, like, oh, it would suck to plow the snow. How would you get it out? Shovel it. And then you're like, you could just buy a truck and do it, or you could probably hire someone to do it. Just be like, hey, you can do one swipe up the driveway, one swipe down, and be done. And you'll get $100 or whatever. And they're like, okay, done and done. So that's not really a big deal, right? Ice cream cones. Andy Rooney decided to complain about ice cream cones. Now, I notice this is not ice cream, but ice cream cones, which I have a similar feeling to Andy, which is like, the ice cream cone is kind of annoying, because I feel like as an adult man, I cannot eat an ice cream cone in public. Like, I don't know how to eat it without making it a mess and without looking like a child, and like the risk-reward ratio of the ice cream cone is not good. The cup is much better. Now, when you're a kid, you go and you get the cone, and they're like, do you want it in a cup or a cone? And you're like, what are you, a fucking idiot? Of course I want it in a cone. Why would I get a cup? I can't eat the cup. I can eat the cone. What kind of question is that? What kind of monster are you that you would even suggest etc. Also, waffle cone smells great. Waffle cones smell so good when they're making it. Like, that's the smell of the ice cream place, right? Is the waffle cone. But then when you taste it, it doesn't really taste like anything. How come it smells so good, and then when you're eating it, it basically tastes like, you're like, I'm not entirely sure that they gave me a cone. This might have been a cup in disguise. There's a sticker on this car that says, baby up in this bitch. Like, it's like baby on board, but it says baby up in this bitch. I wonder if there actually is a baby up in this bitch, and also, does this indicate, because I guess baby on board is supposed to indicate, like, drive safely around me because there's a baby on here. And I'm kind of like, eh. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you should just, like, calm down. I wasn't planning to rear-end you before. And so the little sticker does not make me be like, well, okay. Never mind, then. I was planning to just fucking full speed and... Yeah, I'm trying to wear my brakes down, so I thought if I just rammed into you, that would be a good way to sort of stop my progress without hurting my brakes. But, baby on board, baby up in this bitch, who knows? So I'm not a big fan of the ice cream cone, overall. Not a huge ice cream cone guy. And then, like, eating them at home just doesn't seem... It seems like a lot of work. Here's another thing about growing up. When you grow up and you don't have a family, one huge advantage to having no family is that when it's time to eat ice cream, you eat it straight out of the fucking container. And, like, when it's me and Poonmaster Flex, it's like, yeah, fuck it. Go for it. What do I care? Go for it. I'm happy for you to do that. But then you got, like, if you got, like, five people living in the house, you're like, no, this is untenable. Someone's going to make a mess of this bitch. See, I saw that sticker, and it's influenced my language now. Magazine covers. Magazine covers are kind of funny to me because I still don't really understand, and no one has adequately explained to me, because it's like, okay, so you have a men's magazine. Like, do they still make, like, Maxim and shit like that? What's on the cover? Like, a half-naked lady. Then you have a Cosmo. What's on the cover? A half-naked lady, but maybe she looks like she's going to prom or something. So it's like, all the covers have half-naked ladies on them. Now, I did see a tweet the other day of someone who said they're, like, an editing manager at Playgirl, which is coming back. Which is sort of funny to me. I mean, I guess Playboy came back at some point. My understanding of what happened with Playboy is Playboy existed. Then they took the nudes out of Playboy and went more Maxim style. Or maybe they took the lady pictures out entirely. I'm not completely sure. But what I know is that they then returned to having the nudes fairly recently. So they kind of full circled it and they were like, yeah, it turns out people are into that. Turns out that that's one of the main appeals of our magazine. Turns out the thing that we're most known for is also something that people bought our magazine for. And we've talked many times on this show about my unfortunate incident wherein I had to purchase I purchased Playboy because it was had a Chuck Palahniuk story in it I wanted. And it was really, unfortunately, the female wrestling, some female wrestling duo was the cover models and the people nude in the Playboy. And it was just like, oh, man, this is embarrassing. It made it look like I was like, oh, I don't normally buy this. But hey, if there's going to be a couple like wrestling chicks in there, I'm in. This is great. Really want a lady who's wearing, like, weird metallic and leather stuff, and then looks like she does a lot of bicep curls, and then also has, like, weird breast implants that don't look right on her ripped body. That's what I'm pretty into. So anyway, I guess Playgirl's coming back. It seemed sincere. I don't know. Good luck. I wish you the best, Playgirl. I don't know who is posing in Playgirl. This is another weird thing, because I think, like, Playboy, if my understanding of it is correct, once in a while they would have a coup and they would have some kind of minor celebrity in there, right? Same deal with Playgirl. But I can't really picture a lot of minor celebrities today posing nude in a magazine like that. Like, that just doesn't seem real. That doesn't seem like a realistic thing, nor does it seem like a good deal. Because I gotta imagine, like, you're a celebrity, you get nude in Playgirl, and then the pictures are online, like, in 5 minutes, right? And so no one's buying the magazine? I mean, that doesn't seem... If people are willing to hack your iPhone to get your naked photos, I can't imagine they're just like, oh, well, now I'll just patiently wait for Playboy. And then when that comes out, I will just, you know, examine it and commit it to memory and then be done with it. Doesn't seem likely, but whatever. Spies. Spies was one of his topics of interest. What do I have to say about spies? Nothing. I mean, do spies exist anymore? Is a spy somebody who sits behind a computer now? Like, is a spy someone who's actually going down the street with a trench coat and has, like, a secret tooth with poison in it? Or is this just, like, some, you know, is it purely 100% just the person with the computer hacking skills? That's what it seems like to me. That's gotta be what it is, right? There's no other reason to have a spy of any other kind. But these spies are always versing each other. That's the problem. One spy is fighting another spy. The second I hire a spy, someone else hires a spy, and then it's just spy versus spy, and no one gets anywhere. We're basically stuck just having spies against each other, and it pretty much evens out. When I was a kid, I was always obsessed with, I wondered if the black or white spy won more of the battles in Spy vs. Spy in Mad Magazine, and I was like, someday, I'm going to collect all of the Spy vs. Spies and do the statistics on who wins which one. And I thought I had figured out a pattern, you know, at different points, like, oh, it's two and then one, and then two and then one, or something like that. I don't think there was any rhyme or reason to it. Also, you know, as an adult, you're like, well, okay, A, it's stupid, but B, you're like, oh, there's a bunch of reprints. You start realizing they reprinted a bunch of this stuff, so you're thinking, all right, well, does the reprint, that does obviously can't count as another one, right? But at the same time, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? Oh, my word. We are in a horrifically designed intersection at this point that not making me real happy. Also, it seems like some folks in front of me decided that a road that's definitely not a two-lane road should be a two-lane road. That seems like a mistake. There's those things where you get on the highway, you know, and it's like a red light and you can't go until it's green, and the red light is really long. Anyway, presidents. Woo! Woo, presidents! I have this to say about presidents. This is like my biggest political speech of all time. Our current president, I will accept either one of these things, but not both, about him. Is he a genius mastermind who is intentionally, like, ruining everything, whether you're talking about the economy or relationships with North Korea or, like, people of color or whatever? Is he a mastermind who's doing this for some sinister purpose and he's, you know, taking these steps that, oh, he's so brilliant? Or is he fucking stupid? Because I feel like I see both. Some days I'll see a story where it's like he's secretly signaling white power groups with like hand signals or something. And then the next day I'll see one that's like, is Trump illiterate? And I'm like, okay, well, which one is it? I don't feel like it can be both. I don't feel like that's how this works. But maybe I'm wrong. But that's my opinion on presidents. Most presidents are bad. And it's a question of, were they stupid and bad, or were they smart and bad? And it's only a question of intent, right? Impact can still be bad, regardless of which one they are. But it's like, okay, George W. Bush, prime example. Stupid. I'm not putting him in the evil genius category. Like, I refuse. But his stupidity caused a lot of problems. This is a problem of having really stupid people in positions of power. It's like, well, yeah, they're so stupid, it causes some trouble. They can cause a lot of trouble with their stupid. This feels like a little race or something. Like you're just waiting for the green light to go. And this lady next to me is like staring at her phone and trying to drive. And it's making me nervous. She's got a brand new car. It's got dealer plates on it. And she's like driving in the shoulder. People are insane, aren't they? I don't know if you know that. Okay. Pill bottle cotton. I don't even know if that's still a thing. Like, if you buy a bottle of aspirin, does it still have cotton in the top under the cap? I don't buy pills all that often, so I don't really know. But I feel like it's there for a purpose. I mean, isn't the point of it to, like, prevent moisture from getting in there, probably? Kind of like a desiccant. So I don't know. I'm in favor of it. I'm pro cotton in there. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't take a lot of those over-the-counter pills. I feel like they don't really do anything. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe it's just how my body reacts to stuff, but it doesn't seem like I take an Aleve and feel different. I just kind of am like, eh. I don't know, 5%? Is that worth it? Destroy your liver to feel 5% better for 4 hours. This is total bullshit, too, where they're like, oh, this patented formula, it lasts all day. So you only have to take one of this pill, or you'd have to take 10 of this, and it's like, it's all the same shit. Give me a break. I don't believe you. Why would I believe you? Why do I believe that what you're saying? Why would you make a pill that you're like, you don't even have to hardly take these? Good news. You can just, like, have one, and you're good for life. Oh, okay. Well, I'll do that then. Magazine page numbers. So this was separated from magazine covers. Seems like they should have been close together, but what do I know? Actually, I have to agree on this one. Magazine page numbers are fucked up, and it's annoying. Because, like, the ads don't count as pages, right? So if you're reading, let's say, a 50-page magazine, you'll see page 1, page 2, then there's 5 pages of ads, then page 3. Or sometimes maybe it goes the opposite, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's an ad and what's not. And these fucking magazines just need to be like, listen, shitheads, our magazine has page numbers in it. They go in the lower outside corner. So you need to leave the lower outside corners, both of them, because we don't know which page your ad's going to land on right away. You need to leave them clear so that we can put our ads there, or put our page numbers there. That way, like, why have a table of contents if you're going to have page numbers that don't really mean anything? Don't even bother with the TOC, all right? Because you're not down with the TOC. You're just, like, having it in there because it's like, yeah, this is a thing magazines have, right? That makes our magazine a real magazine for grown-ups. But it's like, I mean, yeah, if you just put a table of... just don't even put the fucking page numbers. Just be like, well, here's the order, and then I'll do what I normally do, which is just flip through it till I get to the one thing and be like, oh, okay, well, this comes after the thing I'm looking for, so I guess I'll go back. I mean, for God's sake. Imagine if, like, regular books did that. They're like... well, okay, so we put pages on the page numbers on the pages that have like action or super relevant plot points. But if it's kind of filler, Or it's not, you know, a character. It's a character development moment. Like, who gives a shit about that? Then what we'll do is just not put a page number. Those pages don't count. Like, oh, okay. That's a genius idea. Makes it so much easier for me to navigate this fucking magazine. Good lord. The moon. What do I have to say about the moon? I mean, I always have something to say about the moon, which is like, people seem to have no desire to go to the moon, and I think they're insane. And when I talk about, like, I would totally go to the moon, people are like, you're crazy. Why? What would you do? That's the question about the moon. What would you do when you got there? I'm like, I don't know. What are you going to do in Pittsburgh? Look at an old tree? An old building where they signed some fucking paper a million years ago? I don't know. Maybe I'll go to the place where people first landed on the moon. Isn't that just as significant as, like, oh, they fought some battle here and some guy got hit with a fucking cannonball? Oh, my God. Whoa, history comes alive. I mean, history would come alive on the moon, believe me. Also, I've read that zero gravity is an experience that really cannot be replicated outside of zero gravity. Like, the sort of lightness you feel makes you very aware of how much your body is, like, weighing you down and sucks all the time. Even, like, your hair is, like, pulling down on you all the time. And I'm like, well, I kind of want to feel that. For just a minute, Peter wants to be free. Now, this may result in a lifetime following of, like, misery, right? Because I'm like, ugh, now I know. Now I know what it's like. Jesus. Some crazy shit going on. Now I know what it's like to have the blues. But, yeah, there's plenty of good reasons to go to the moon. Anyone who doesn't, who's like, I'm absolutely not going to the moon, for reasons other than just complete fear, that I kind of get. Because I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, there's some pretty fucked up shit going on there, I suppose. But other than that, I'm like, eh, just go for it, man. It'll be fine. Wouldn't it be cool? Don't you think it'd be fun to go to the moon? Pennies. Pennies is one of his, topics. I'm guessing he was for the elimination of the penny. He seems like someone who wouldn't really care about pennies. And he seems to be bothered by things. So I'm guessing that the penny would be something he doesn't like. I don't have a lot of stake in pennies. I feel like pennies are sort of an annoyance. But I also feel like 99% of the time, if they're, oh, here's a regular baby on board sticker. Okay. Well, so this one I know for sure not to hit. The other one, it was questionable, but this one's definitely, although it might be an unlicensed Harold and the Purple Crayon or something, or a Darth Vader. You know, it's a quality item when I'm like, it might be a Darth Vader or it might be Harold from Harold and the Purple Crayon. Anyway, pennies. Like, most of the time, doesn't, like, someone at the store just go into their penny cup and they're just like, eh, here. It's 99 cents. Here's the thing. You should just make your prices such that that's not an issue. Oh, yeah, it's a, well, I don't even know what it is. I think it's a Darth Vader. Here's the problem. It looks like Darth Vader, but it's all white. So it doesn't look quite correct. And it's not, it's a really bad sticker. And maybe the font is vaguely Star Wars-y. Maybe that's what's going on here. But why would that be a thing? Babies have no business being involved in a intergalactic conflict. Get your baby away. I wouldn't be putting a little Darth Vader. That's like putting a Darth Vader sticker on your car is like putting a Hitler sticker on your spaceship. And it's like, oh, isn't that cute? An evil dictator who strangles people from across the galaxy. And, like, he blew up an entire planet, by the way. Just fucking murdered an entire planet. I mean, we're talking about Hitler, and it's like, oh, that seems a little extreme. But then you do the math, and you're like, oh, actually, worse. I mean, it's not worse, because it was fictional. But at the same time, what the fuck? One of my favorite signs is, notice, correctional facility, do not stop for hitchhikers. Like, as if people are dying to pick up hitchhikers all the time. How about this, the government and the roads people? Put up a sign where you're like, this would probably be a fine place to pick up a hitchhiker. Like, this would probably cause you no harm. No biggie. If I were, hey, listen, I'm king of the road, as they say. And if I were picking up a hitchhiker, this is where I would do it. Okay? That's what, I would definitely do it here, rather than somewhere else. So, given those two choices, I know which way I'm going. Let's see. Baseball versus football. Wow. Something I don't care about versus something I care about even less. When it comes to baseball versus football, I think baseball gets too much shit for being boring, and football is pretty much just as boring. Like, here's the difference, I think. Don't most people watch football at home? And, like, people will go to a baseball game, like it's a thing you do and you drink beers and stuff. I don't know. It just seems so slow to me. At least during baseball, it's like potentially something's happening, right? I don't know that something's happening or not, but something may happen at any moment. So that's something. I mean, isn't it? Isn't that like something? As I've been putting it so eloquently, it's a thing. It's a thing that's happening. So that brings me to some kind of enjoyable situation. It's like, it's there's potential to enjoy a thing if there's at least something might happen. Where football seems like a thing happens and then nothing happens for a really long time. And then a thing happens, but like the thing that happens 9 times out of 10 is a bunch of guys run into each other and the ball advances 5 yards. And you're like, okay, good thing we spent 10 minutes getting ready for that. Good thing we took a commercial in the middle here. What if we hadn't done that commercial? That would have been a disaster. Medicine cabinets. I have a thing to say about medicine cabinets, because I am now the owner of a medicine cabinet. Now, I had one before. The one I had before was like 3 doors, one on each side and one in the middle. And that was kind of annoying, because it's not very wide, medicine cabinet. So each of these doors was pretty small, and you're like, I feel like I'm just constantly opening and closing these little doors. But the one I have now is a different annoyance, which is it is a mirrored front medicine cabinet, which means to open it, you have to touch the mirror. Like, you can't really open it without putting your hand on the mirror part of the medicine cabinet, which means that every time you open it, you're smudging the mirror, which means that, like, you have to clean this mirror all the time or just live with the smudge. If I owned this home, I would paint a small opaque triangle on the lower corner or affix some kind of knob to it and then be like, there, good. I don't think here's the other thing that's dumb about it, though. It's mounted to the side, so I'm standing in front of a large vanity-style mirror, and then there's also this small mirror that's got, you know, the medicine cabinet off to my left. If there's one place in my entire house where I do not need another mirror, it's right there. That is the best mirror that I've got access to in the house for, like, looking at my face. It's way more mirror than I would prefer, to be honest. And so the last thing I need is a second mirror off to the side. So manufacturers of medicine cabinets, heed this call. If you're going to... Okay, also, it's got like a magnetic closure on it, which the old one didn't. The door just swings. That works much better, because then you can just put your finger, even if it was mirrored, you could put your finger on the opposite edge and pull it, and it would be fine. But because this one has that magnetic thing, it takes a little bit more oomph to get it going. What in the hell is going on in my life? Takes more oomph to get it going. So you kind of have to touch the mirror. So they could have done it many different ways and solved my problem. And you know what would be kind of cool? If it had like a little push button, a little spring-loaded thing, like you push it and it pops open. Doesn't have to be with a lot of force. That would obviously be bad, but like just a little boink and it's open. I guess the medicine cabinet too doesn't... the medicine cabinet's dumb. Also, let's come up with a shorter name, huh? Medicine cabinet. It's too much. Appliances, just in general. What do I have to say about these? Well, I've become an old man to the point where I appreciate expensive appliances. Not expensive. Quality appliances. And, like, shitty appliances make me unhappy. That's the point I am in life right now, where a shitty appliance, I'm like, oh, God. Like, the place we live now is pretty nice. It's an upgrade for me. However, you can tell, like, the places I lived before, the appliances were designed to last forever. Because they were like, we don't want to fix these fucking things, so let's just get good ones and whatever. This one seems a little cheaper. And just little stuff. Every little thing, like, we started using the ceiling fans, and wobbly as fuck. I'm actually hoping to fix that when I go home today. The two ceiling fans we've turned on, they're, like, wobbling like crazy. And last night, the one was wobbling, and I was like, well, whatever, it's fine for now. And then it starts, like, click, 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 and I was like, God damn it. How are you supposed to sleep with that going on? So anyway, does the ceiling fan count as an appliance? If it does, let's get it fixed. And people, if you've got a wobbly ceiling fan, fix it. I did some very basic internet research last night because I was like, how concerned should I be that this fan is going to fall on top of me and kill me in the night? Turns out not very. But it also made it very clear to me that it's not very difficult to do. To fix. So just fix them, man. Just go for it. You'll be fine. Alright. How to carry money. Okay. Well, here are the options. A wallet. I'm going to just go through the men's options because ladies, you know, I can't speak to, there are certain things I can't speak to. Are you carrying money? Poonmaster Flex and I had this conversation about motor vehicles, which is a way that a lot of people get in trouble, is you can ask a simple financial question to just about anyone and really learn a lot about them. And that simple financial question is, do you consider a vehicle a status symbol or transportation? If they say transportation, they're probably doing okay of money. If they say status symbol, they're probably going to get fucked up at some point. They're probably going to blow it. So that's all I have to say about a lady's way of transporting money and things. Is it a way of doing that, or is it a status symbol for you? Just think about it. As far as dudes, there's a couple options. There's the wallet, and there's the money clip. But I feel like the money clip has sort of gone out of style. The money clip was in, like, real big, it seemed like, in a bunch of 80s movies, like an action movie, right? Like, I owed someone a bunch of money, so I'd give it to them via, like, clipped money. But then I would just surrender the money clip as well, and that part never made sense to me. So I was like, what, do you just have a fucking stash of money clips at home when you get there? Like, you can just afford to be throwing these. I know they can afford to throw these money clips around because they're, like, insane, I don't know, evil businessmen of some kind. But why would you want to? Why would you want to live your life that way? Just, like, wasting money clips by the barrel full. And it's like, hey, I ordered you another shipping container full of money clips, but, like, maybe you should just do some fucking direct deposit, buddy. Or just maybe a rubber band would be a good idea. Instead of spending, you know, $10, then you're always making me take these money clips to the mall and get them engraved with your initials. So that's another fucking $25. So you're spending $35 just to kind of show people how cool you are with your money clip. thing about the money clip that never made sense to me is, like, well, where are you putting, like, your driver's license and shit? Although I've discovered, so my job involves often asking people for a driver's license because they don't have a library card yet or don't have it with them. And so a driver's license is a good alternative way to look them up and do whatever they want to do. A shocking number of people seem to feel like a driver's license is just kind of, like, optional. Like, it's just sort of a, well, if you want to have it with you, that would be smart. But if you don't feel like it, like, eh, whatever. I mean, I very rarely leave the house without a driver's license. Even if I'm not driving, like, that doesn't really matter, right? Just fucking keep your driver's license with you, people. It's crazy. The world has gone upside down and inside out, about to show this world that it's all about. There are, like, these new wallets now, these, like, minimal wallets, which are basically just two hard pieces of plastic that you can put cards in between. So I guess, and the problem I have with those is you can't carry cash in them. And I like to carry cash. Because sometimes I like to buy things that are $2. And if I buy something that's $2, I feel like a real dildo if I'm like, here's my card. Oh. And I know they're supposed to take it and stuff, but it's like, come on, man. You have $2 on you? $2? But maybe it'll change. When I was little and we would go to the arcade, my grandma would let me borrow her coin purse, which I liked and was like, I don't know why people don't carry these all the time. So convenient, because I was wearing 1980s/1990s shorts, which didn't have pockets. There you go. Let's see here. Consulting my list while trying not to hit a motorcyclist. Paint. This one just says paint. That's all it says. I'm annoyed that somebody painted the room that I sleep in this weird pastel green color. I've seen other houses with this color inside and think it's a pretty big mistake. I gotta say, it's not a good look. Also, if you're gonna do something like that, paint one wall, maybe. Call the accent wall, but call it a day. I mean, but it's sort of like a color that's like, I want to paint it a color, but I don't really like any colors. So what's kind of like just painting it white, but also having it be a color? It's like, here's my cake that I'd like to have, and I'm going to eat it. Does having your cake and eating it too, does the having part, is that a sexual thing? There is something weird going on up ahead. There's a car that is like pulled over, but not pulled over. Okay. I'm safe, I think. So yeah, I guess I'm like, does it have your cake and eat it too mean like, oh, I had my cake in the biblical sense. So I wish paint wasn't that color that it is in the room that I sleep in. That's my main complaint about paint at this juncture. Painting is a pain in the ass. I don't know why. Like, why when you paint does it have to take, like, 3 coats to paint something? You know, can't they make a paint that's, like, you do it once and you're done? A one and done? They're like, it's got good coverage and whatever. And can they make the sprayer so it works better? So you can do it, like, in your house and spray. Because that just seems way better. Also, a roller. How come they don't make a paint roller so that it's, like, 5 feet wide? Okay, go, lady. Why isn't the roller, like, 5 feet wide? I mean, who's painting a wall and they're like, well, I only need, like, 8 inches width on this roller. That would be the ideal amount of width to have on a roller. And I will just make a million swipes. Just make it wide as fuck! And then I can go up, down, left, right, BA, start, and be done. Next is the IRS. The Internal Revenue Service. It's just after tax day. I once again took on the role of ordering tax forms for my work. And we have tax forms because nobody else does. So we got stuck holding the bag on that one, because it's like, well, if we didn't have them, how would people get them? And I'm like, well, there's actually numerous ways. You can call, you can email, you can print them. We provide free printing. There's a very large number of ways to get tax forms. Well, those aren't accessible to everyone, Peter. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's easier to get yourself to the library and pick up a tax form than it is to fucking call a phone number and have one delivered to your house. That doesn't seem more difficult to me. I don't know. I'm crazy. I'm obviously crazy, but whatever. But I will say this. I think I'm predicting the end of the IRS shipping out like bundles of tax forms within the next 3 years, because they've slowly reduced the forms they send out and like the varieties and stuff like that. But I hope you all did your taxes, because if you haven't done them by now, you're in deep shit, my friend. The shit is deep and you are in it. Pockets. Pockets. What do I have to say about pockets? Well, I think I just want to say to the designers of clothing, A, there's no reason not to have a pocket on a piece of clothing. Except possibly like tights / leggings. I don't know if pockets work on those, so I can't speak. But other than that, anything may as well have a pocket on it. And a pocket, here's the easiest way to know how big should a pocket be. Can I hold a standardish size smartphone in it? Now, it doesn't have to be one of those fucking smartphones where someone busts it out and you're like, oh, you got a fucking first-gen iPad, huh? And then they put it up to their head and you're like, oh, that's for that. Okay. But I mean, a normal-sized phone should be able to fit in your pocket, because otherwise, why even have a pocket? That's kind of the whole point, right? That's like the whole deal of the pocket, is so you can put things like your phone, put items and objects in there. Seems like a good one to me. This one says good and bad shapes. So he's like, some shapes are good and some shapes are bad. I'm wondering if this was like a fitness thing. What does it mean to be in good shape and bad shape? It's like, well, Andy, I think shape is really just a way people say condition. You know, I can say, oh man, this comic book is in bad shape. And it's like, well, it's still a rectangle, but it's not a good looking rectangle. Do you feel like sometimes the siren of a thing is like not on, that they're just driving without it on? Cause it like comes up close and then you're like, oh shit, there it is. Well, there it is. Let's see. But yeah, good and bad shapes. Good shapes, I guess. Triangle, circle, square, rhombus. Bad shapes, swastika. It's a bad shape. Lithuania. I don't know anything about Lithuania now. Let alone what was going on in Lithuania in the 90s, presumably. So that's going to be a tough one. Lithuania. I have no idea. I hope that he went on a trip there and it was great. And he's like, I'm a Lithomaniac. Lithuomaniac. Lithuania mania. Lithuania mania is sweeping the nation. I'm Andy Rooney, and I'm here to tell you about it. I have nothing to say about this country, because I know nothing about it. There's a lot of countries I know nothing about, you guys. I will say this, though. People often talk about, you know, how Americans are so stupid, and they don't know other countries, and blah, blah, blah. But I'm sort of like, yeah, I mean, but if you live somewhere else, you don't understand. Like, what is it like to have a country the size of this and then live in the middle of it, and you got to do all this shit to go to another country? I can't just get on a train and buy a $40 ticket and be in fucking Paris tomorrow or in a few hours. It's like, it's not going to happen. And it was like, oh, so many Americans don't even own a passport. And I'm like, oh, so we're mad at Americans because they aren't rich and they don't travel outside the country? Oh, what assholes. What pieces of shit. Man, what a terrible bunch of people we are. So there's Lithuania. Joggers. Oh, joggers. Well, as a jogger myself, or runner, people will ask, they'll be like, do you say that you jog or run? And I say, I guess I say I run, but I mean, same shit as far as I'm concerned. I guess it's probably about time for my yearly reminder, though, to both parties involved. To non-joggers, people who are out jogging are not doing so for your approval or to pique your interest in any way. Somebody out jogging on the sidewalk near where you drive has no effect on your life, and just leave them alone. You don't need to honk. You don't need to say anything. Don't, even if it's encouraging, don't say anything, because they're just going to probably flip off your car. That's what I do most of the time. Run, Forrest, run is not a good one. Believe me, we've all heard it before. It was funnier the first 10,000 times, and when it was said by people who I presume are old enough to have actually seen that movie. If some guy is out jogging or some lady is out jogging, just leave them alone. They're fine. They're not interested in what you're doing or thinking, and they're not doing it to, like, rub it in your face. It's like when people get mad about, you know, oh, these assholes go out and they do a turkey trot on Thanksgiving, you know, to make the rest of us feel like shit because we're just, like, gorging ourselves on food that day and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. They're going out to do that, and it has nothing to do with you. And that's what you don't like about it. You don't like that people are doing something that has nothing to do with you, and it doesn't concern you in any way, and they do not care about your opinion or take on it at all. That's what you don't like. Just admit it. Okay, to the other side. Especially dudes are guilty of this. But I've seen it across the spectrum. If it is 70 degrees and dark outside, you don't need to be topless when you're running. Okay? If it is 85 degrees and sunny, you probably still don't need to be topless. To be honest, your shirt will probably trap your sweat and will cool you off as you run. It'll probably be fine. Also, if it is so hot outside at the time that you're out jogging that you can't do it with a shirt on, don't do it. Don't be outside jogging at that time. That's it. You don't need to do it. Poonmaster Flex and I were talking about this as far as, like, people who go to the gym and they're very scantily clad. And I was like, listen, I have an equal hatred of this for the people who are in great shape and terrible shape. That is irrelevant to me as far as being scantily clad while exercising. It's about, like, look, do you need to, super ripped guy, do you need to be wearing, I'm not even a big fan of the tank tops at the gym. Because I'm like, you're indoors at a gym. It's not going to be that hot. If you're outside playing beach volleyball, fucking go for it. But you're, like, indoors at a gym, you don't need to wear a tank top at all. So don't. But yeah, that's my biggest pet peeve is you'll be like out, you'll see some guy jogging at 8:30 PM. The sun has gone down. The moon has come up. And long ago, somebody left with the cup and they will be carrying a shirt that they wore, which, by the way, I do at least appreciate if they're carrying a shirt, at least you're like, well, at least at some point they intended to wear a shirt. If you just left your house topless, I mean, what are you thinking? It's too hot to be out running. Give me a break. And what are you doing? Who are you, Roger Bannister? You're gonna, like, break the world record in the mile? If only you weren't fettered by this 100-pound t-shirt. Maybe you should buy some lighter t-shirts. Stop buying those double XL co-ed naked shirts and those triple XL Big Johnson shirts and stop getting shirts from the Big Dogs store about, you know, big dog, be the big dog and lead or stay on the porch or whatever the fuck that was. Stop buying that and wearing it then. Wear a normal shirt. I think you'll feel better about it. Ooh, boy. This topic just says Arab dress. So I guess this is how Arab people dress? I gotta be honest, I'm dying to know what Andy Rooney's opinion is on this. I don't know if I have any opinion on the way that anyone from that part of the world dresses. It doesn't seem any worse than how anyone dresses here. So, whatever. I mean, I was just complaining about how everyone dresses here in a couple different ways. So, I don't know. Whatever. If you want to wear a long, flowy thing, that looks perfectly comfortable. I gotta say, I could never dress like that. Because if I was wearing a long, flowing, especially white sort of getup, I would be dragging it through puddles in the bathroom. I would be getting spaghetti sauce on. It would be a fucking disaster. I would look like shit. I don't know how people who wear that look acceptable. Like, they must eventually just come across or come into a sixth sense for, like, where their clothing is in space and, like, what they're doing. Or, like, do they take their clothes off when they're eating or something? Because I just can't fucking imagine that I would have any article of clothing for more than, like, 2 weeks before I fucking ruined it. Completely. Completely and utterly. Oh, my God. And the next one is minorities. Just as one general group. Hey, how about those minorities, huh? I don't know. I feel like an old man in 2019 is like a heartless jerk bastard because he says, I don't really care about anybody. So there you go. I don't really care about anybody. I mean, I don't care about any group of people, I guess, based on their group affiliation. And, yeah. But because I don't care about anybody. I mean, I care about some individuals. A very small number. You can find them on our Patreon page for Helpful Stuff. Next is the homeless. He really, at some point, Andy Rooney was like, I'm not fucking around anymore. Minorities, Arab dress, the homeless. I think the homeless, my opinion on the homeless, or people experiencing homelessness, to use people first language, is that at some point we're just going to have to accept that this is never going to, like, go away. I mean, this is never going to be a thing where it's like, and then that was the last guy who was ever homeless, right? Because it's like, okay, you've got your large percentage of people who are homeless, and they are homeless for a brief period and then not homeless anymore. Or, you know, they'll go through short bouts of homelessness over a period of several years, kind of on and off, but they're not, like, living on the streets full-time for, like, a year. But then you've got your folks who are doing it that way. And it's like, look, I don't know exactly what the plan is here, but I think that at some point we just have to accept a couple things and just be like, look, man, these folks are homeless. Now, what we should probably do is spend a ton of money and build some kind of housing situation for the homeless. And we're just going to have to pay for the housing and the food and the water and all that stuff. And probably the sooner we accept it and just do it, the better for everyone involved. Right? But I don't know. It's kind of weird. Like, so Poonmaster Flex left Portland, and they have, like, a very weird situation with the homeless there. Because it's like, I've never seen a city that is so wealthy and yet has, like, you know, you'll be at a restaurant in downtown Portland and there's like a little tent city on a street that springs up during the night, right? And like every vestibule is that way. And so then there started to be some tension because, like, I can't remember what business it was. It was some kind of like outdoor clothing thing or something. And they were kind of like, listen, every day we come in and someone's taking a shit in the vestibule, like basically shit on the front steps of our store. And there are like people sleeping here. And when our employees kind of try and say like, oh, well, we got to open the store, so you're going to have to move, they threaten them and they're abusive to them and so on. And they're like, this is a problem. But then people are like, whatever, man. Like, why do you have to oppress them with your billion-dollar outdoor clothing store or something? This is Pete's gross simplification of the issue. However, I'm kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, but this is the thing. We just all need to accept that it's going to cost all of us money and then just do it. Just be like, look, let's just devote the money. Let's just call it a day. Let's just be like, fuck it. Just like if you have to build a bridge, the bridge gets built, right? It's like, well, look, if this bridge collapsed and we had to build another one, we would have to find the money. It just has to get built. And the people have to get paid to build it. Like, it just has to happen. And so then it happens. But we don't treat the homeless problem that way. We're not like, look, these people need to, they're going to sleep somewhere. They're going to take shit somewhere. So maybe what we should do is just give them a place to sleep and take shits and probably just give them food and call it a day. Right? Just call it a day. Just be like, eh, it is what it is. You know, am I thrilled that it's like every year I'm paying a couple extra $100 for that? No. But whatever. I mean, fuck it. The next topic he had was sexual harassment. I don't know. I have really nothing to say about sexual harassment other than, things I've said on here before. But, I'm curious what Andy Rooney's 1990s version of talking about sexual harassment was. I wonder if Andy Rooney was, like, secretly woke. Like, if I went back through this and I'd be like, holy shit. He's so with it. And whatever. Let's see. School books. I guess it's like textbooks or something. I think when I was like 25 or so, I was like, I can never date someone who's in college again because I can't. I've had this conversation about the expense of school books so many times that it's just making me fucking crazy, and I don't think I could do it again. Like, I think if someone talks to me about this, I will explode. I will explode in a fury, and they'll be like, why are you so pissed off right now? I mean, it's a total scam. But here's the thing. If you're a college student today, you need to just get with your classes and be like, guys, let's all go in on the textbook. Somebody needs to scan this textbook and then just give everyone the PDF. Someone needs to scan this book and give us the PDF. And let's just fucking put them on Google Drive. No one will know. Like, don't just give it out to this class. And then I'm going to take it down once this class is over. Or like once everyone has a copy, I'm going to take it down. It'll be up for one day. So download your copy that day and then we're done. And don't title it the thing that it's called. Title it, you know, Sony TV User Manual. And then just put it up there. It's not that hard, guys. It's not that tough to get around this whole problem. Snow. Snow is one of the things. Boy, do I hate the snow. I like the snow. I think I'm a minority in this. I enjoy the snow. I don't mind driving in the snow terribly. I mean, I'd prefer not to go a long distance or, like, have to be at the airport when it's snowing or something. But over, you know, if I have to drive to work and it's, like, a 15-minute drive, it is not a big fucking deal. I guess what makes me mad about the snow is everyone else gets so uptight about the snow. They act like when it snows, like they lost a leg overnight. And they're like, oh, the inconvenience. And it's just so, it's so frightening. It's like, how can you be so frightened by something that's been part of your life since day one? Like, snow is a natural thing. And you live in Colorado, by the way. It's like, yeah, if you, hey, if you hate snow that much, move to fucking Alabama. They don't have snow there. It's cheaper. You could probably live a happy life. Who knows? Ghost writers. So people who write books for, like, a celebrity and, you know, the celebrity pretends they wrote the book. I mean, on the one hand, it's kind of annoying because, like, when somebody has their book ghost written for them, it's sort of like, well, why do I care about your book? I'll say this too, like, if you're looking for a memoir to read or something like that, I would avoid most celebrity memoirs. Here's a tip. Here's a Pete helpful snowman helpful top tip. If you're looking for a nonfiction book to read, like a memoir or something especially, I recommend that you get one written by someone who is known for writing books. Or if they're known for writing this particular memoir, that's great too. Not known for doing something else, and then they're writing a memoir about it. That would be my advice. I do think the ghostwriter thing is kind of shitty, because like when you see a book like, 127 Hours guy, Aaron Ralston, right? Lost his arm, whatever. And while hiking, got trapped, right? That was him. Between a Rock and a Hard Place, it was called. You kind of want to see a book is by Aaron Ralston and somebody. And it's like, if they put the other person on the cover and name them, I'm fine with that. Because it's like, okay, you know, I don't necessarily think that Aaron Ralston has, like, great skills at writing a book, but he does have a tale to tell. So I think what would be good is, yeah, you have him fucking outline the shit, or maybe he writes it and then the other person redrafts it or whatever. But I think that's a great way to do it. But when you're just having a ghostwriter write a book for you, like, this was happening in young adult novels for a while, where I was like, for... Call me crazy, but I don't really think that Hilary Duff wrote a young adult novel. I don't really think that Snooki from the Jersey Shore wrote, like, a young adult novel. I mean, I think she probably could, but I don't think she did. Some or one of the Kardashians wrote, like, some kind of novel at one point. And I'm like, I just don't think that they're... Why would they do that? Why would they spend their time doing that? That seems like the worst way for them to make a buck. Now, if they can pay someone else to do it, just pay some chump in an MFA program and just be like, look, man, we'll give you $5,000 to ghostwrite this memoir for, or this novel by, you know, the fifth famous cyst Kardashian person. Be like, all right, I'm in. What should it be about? I don't know. Modeling? Modeling your butt? Okay, cool. I don't really know much about that, but apparently neither does, like, Kim Kardashian, because I read her fucking selfie book, and she didn't give me any fucking helpful tips at all. Nothing whatsoever. No content in that book. You get nothing from that book that you wouldn't find just by going on Instagram. Let's see. Roman numerals. Oh, it says Roman numerical. So I'm going to assume this means Roman numerals. Do we really need them? I think we're done with that, right? I mean, what language did they speak in Rome? That might sound very ignorant to some of you, but I'm not a history buff. What other Roman stuff do we do? My understanding is Caesar salad came from, like, Mexico or Central America. Caesarian section, I think the whole thing about Caesar and whatever is a myth or something. So, like, yeah, fuck it. I mean, how much Roman shit do we need? How much Greek stuff do we need? Like, what's going on? Do we really need all this stuff? Roman numerals. We've got plenty of numbers. Okay? We've got numbers, and we've got the hashtag system where it's like you just draw four hash marks and then a fifth slash over them. That's plenty. Okay, Andy Rooney apparently wrote a column about Kurt Cobain, Nirvana lead singer, which is pretty weird to me. I guess this must have been when he killed himself. That's the only possible reason I could think Andy Rooney would get involved in this on any level, because why else would he care? I just can't imagine him caring about that, and nor should he. I mean, again, this is like Grandpa. This would be like me really weighing in on if Ariana Grande killed herself, and I'm like, oh, Ariana Grande, tortured artist, or, you know, drug user, or influencer, or influenced by drugs, right? And it's like, eh, I don't care. I do not know enough about her to know, and I don't care enough about her to care. I'll say Kurt Cobain, pretty good talent. I think, here's the thing, I think that Nirvana put out some good albums, and it was like, the kids loved it, and the parents didn't necessarily love it. But it definitely was for the kids. I mean, it was for... obviously, my mom is not going to like a song called Rape Me, right? And even if it has an awesome guitar riff that still holds up today. But yeah, you listen to that Nevermind album and you're like, eh, this is pretty good shit. There's some good stuff. But then the real Nirvana, I think, gem... Well, there's a couple. There's that one album they did that was like live performance album, which is pretty good because you're like, oh, this is real. Like when you hear Kurt Cobain singing, that's fucking actually was recorded and it actually sounded like that. When he would do a concert, it sounded like the songs that they recorded. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy that we think that's crazy. Because it's today, and so we're like, oh, well, they just, you know, did whatever, and it's like, no, man. They went in and sang a song, and that's what it sounded like. But it was definitely that Unplugged album that was like, oh, this is like a real band. This isn't like a, you know, a crap one of those bands where, like, none of them actually know how to play the instruments. They're like, oh, these are, like, really talented musicians playing songs. This is pretty cool. Let's see. Lotteries. There are a few times I'm tempted to buy lottery tickets or scratch-offs. I always intend to buy a scratch-off, like if I'm going on a road trip. So I'm like, oh, we'll scratch one like every 50 miles or something, or every hour. So then by the time we get, you know, 4 hours in, we'll have done a scratch ticket. Well, that's a dollar's worth of entertainment. It'll keep us in suspense for the entire drive, and I never do it. And there are times where I think about buying lottery tickets because I'm just like, I would just like to not have to work anymore. Just do stuff like this all the time. But then I'm kind of like, I don't know, man, maybe you shouldn't buy a lottery ticket if that's what you want to do. Maybe you should get real good at making rice at home and save your monies and retire early. What's that? FIRE movement? Financial independence, retire early? Seems almost impossible. I mean, okay, it seems like when people are talking about that retiring when they're in their 30s or something, that they're tech millionaire type people. Maybe not millionaires, but they're like, well, all I had to do was invest this $500,000 I made in these ways, and you're like, well, okay, well, that would take me about 10 years of gross wages just to get there, so I don't know, guys. Apocalypse. Wow. I would like to know. I mean, it would be great if The Walking Dead or, like, this whole apocalyptic fiction movement. Turns out it all started on 60 Minutes with Andy Rooney complaining about shit. And he's like, oh, the apocalypse, blah, blah, blah. We watched an episode of Doomsday Preppers. Have you seen this show where it's like the people they make a bunker and they make like systems by which they can survive during an apocalypse. And these mostly go one of two ways. I think there's really two versions of doomsday preppers. There's the militant version, who basically they have a bunch of like military rations and guns. And they're like, and you know, cameras, and they have a heavy iron gate that swings down over the entrance to their place and whatever. And you're like, okay, so this is going to be some guy shooting his way out of some situation. That should turn out interesting. And then you've got your nerds. Like, we saw one, and the one we watched, there was these two guys, and they were both doing different sort of, I don't know what you call them, aquaponic gardens. So basically, it's like a garden. It's a self-feeding system where you've got fish, and you use the fish waste to grow plants. And then, you know, and it all uses the same water. Like, the fish and the plants use the same water. And you can grow all kinds of shit this way. And then, you know, the fish eat, like, the plant waste. The plants eat the fish waste. And then whatever. So then it's like, oh, in an apocalyptic event, I have fish and plants to eat. So it's just like a small farming project, basically. That's the other kind of prepper, which is, like, the nerd, who I think is just kind of, like, looking for a project. There was a pretty funny one of these aquaponic nerds, because there was two on that show, and one of them had a daughter who was, like, 17 or something, and she was getting in, like, a convertible Miata, and just like, I don't know, I think he's crazy. I just tell him not to talk about my prepping stuff when my friends come over and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, some people are so ungrateful. Because it's like, I'm not saying ungrateful like, oh, you'll be grateful to him when the apocalypse comes, because you probably won't care. But I'm just sort of like, well, your dad is some, like, tech nerd who does an aquaponic garden on his time off and bought you a Maserati or a fucking Miata. So, like, whatever. It seems like you're doing fine. You guys have a nice house. Maybe just be like, you know, it's fucking weird, but my dad's pretty, he seemed like a nice guy. He seemed normal. He wasn't like making his family. It's not like the other guy who was like, okay, I made my son put on a backpack and a gas mask and we walked to an airfield where then we got in an airplane so I could practice flying this airplane because this is our bug out plan. And it's like, yeah, I mean, at least your dad bought you a Miata. His dad bought him a heavy backpack and gas mask and forced him to walk to an airfield. Probably his friends driving by in cars like, look at this fucking idiot and his dad and his dopey dumb dad. So anyway, I feel like there's the two, but I feel like both are mostly harmless. I mean, I guess the militant ones seem a little scarier because it's like, they seem to want an apocalypse to happen more, where for the nerds, it just seems like a thought experiment. But also, I kind of think these like militant ones don't really have the guts to do anything until an apocalypse happens. I mean, if you're like, I'm going to just stockpile a bunch of shit to use in case an apocalypse happens, I don't know. In the event of an apocalypse, I don't know how much I can blame them for using that shit, so there you go. There's a truck going with a hose dragging on the ground behind it. It's been, like, sheared off by dragon. It's pretty funny. Handicapped parking was something Andy Rooney brought up. I don't know if the ratio of handicapped parking is very correct. Here's the thing. It seems to me that the handicap, like, you probably have to have X number of handicapped spaces per X number of regular or X number of handicapped spaces per X amount of building capacity or something. And I'll say this, like, I've been at the library where the handicap parking is full. We might not have quite enough because we have a lot of handicapped people who come there and a lot of elderly people who come there who probably have handicap parking stickers. That said, you go somewhere else and, like, we went to get a pizza, and there's this little parking lot that's totally packed all the time because of this stupid fucking taco place, which no one eats the food there. They just go for the novelty margaritas and shit, which is fine, except it's like it's a horrible, horrible place. If you are a college student who is looking to get finger blasted by an oil field worker, this is maybe the number one place in the United States to find what you're looking for. No judgment. I'm just saying that if that is what you're looking for, I can tell you where to go. If you told me that's what you were looking for 5 years ago, I'd be like, I'm not the person to ask. But now I'm telling you, I'm the person to ask because I know the answer. Anywho, there's also a pizza place there. So we were going to carry out pizza, and the parking lot is totally full. And then the handicap spots, there are 4 or 5, all empty. All vacant. All very conspicuously empty because they're like, they butt right up to the building. So you, like, walk past them, and you're just like, huh, no handicap spot. Although, they're kind of shitty handicap spots, because they're just normal-sized parking spots close to the building. They don't have, like, the ones we have at the library. We could squeeze more spots in there, but they're designed with wings on the side, because it's like, well, yeah, you might have to put a fucking ramp down or something to get out of this thing. Like, that's kind of why these exist. It's not just so it's close to the building. It's also so it can accommodate, like, a van with a ramp or something. So it's like, what are we doing? Are we doing this handicap thing or not? And maybe it's a different, it needs to be a different ratio for different types of things. You know, if you've got a lot of old people or potentially a lot of handicapped people showing up, then yeah, you're probably going to need more. But if you don't, if you're this fucking little square and your handicap spaces are empty 90% of the time, I mean, come on. There needs to be better parking lot technology to determine this ratio, but I don't think anyone's gonna do it, because here's the other thing, right? You don't want to be the place that's like didn't have enough handicap parking, so somebody showed up and then could not park in a handicap spot because they were all full. But who knows? I don't know. My eyebrows. This was an Andy Rooney topic. Now I need to read this one for sure, because he has the Peter Dirk disease, which is, eyebrow hairs do not all feel like there's a limit to length. Like, they're just kind of like, how long should we grow? And the word from on high, from my brain or my hormones or whatever, is just like, just keep going. He'll pull you out when you've overstayed your welcome, which I do, but it's kind of crazy. I'm curious what his take is on it. Like, it looks like he just puts Vaseline on them and just puts them down and whatever. And like, he's looking through almost a small curtain of eyebrows sometimes because the hairs are so long. So he's got some intense eyebrows, and maybe I should look into what his lifetime of dealing with them has taught him. I should take a lesson from an elder in this case. Women on submarines. Oh, God. This seems like a big thing still, is like, can women be on submarines? And I'm sure they can now, I would think, but I don't know. This is, boy, is this one of those things that I do not really care about. Like, can a woman serve on a submarine? And I'm like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I care about that. Because why do we have a submarine? What are submarines doing right now? Is a submarine basically just a floating / sinking platform for like a nuclear missile? Is that the only reason we have a submarine? How many people have to be on there? Like, how much stuff is there to do day to day? Seems like it'd be better with fewer to me, but I don't know. But yeah, whatever. I guess if a lady wants to be in a submarine, I'm fucking... more power to you. I don't want to be on a submarine. So I guess go for it. There's got to be one of those doomsday preppers that has a submarine, right? These are all, by the way, whether they're the militant kind or the other kind of nerd, they're all, like, tech nerds and stuff. I mean, they're, like, the worst people. The last people you would ever want to have get your back in a bar fight are the ones who are going to hold down the fort during the apocalypse. Which is why my apocalypse plan, in any, you know, everyone's like, oh, who do you want on your team in a zombie apocalypse? Or what's your plan for the apocalypse? And I'm like, I would probably be the asshole in the movie who, like, comes over and takes away the stuff from the heroes. And is just like, well, I'm just going to take away your stuff now. Bye. And we'll see you later. Or just, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I would just die. Because I wouldn't know what to do. And I'm like, okay, well, good for you, I guess. I don't know. 'Tis nobler in the mind. Whatever. This says, don't mail me anything. Okay. I don't know who was mailing Andy Rooney a lot of stuff, but whatever. I think mail has changed. I feel like, I mean, I guess I have a stake in this because I'm sending people mail, a newsletter that you could get from me by subscribing to Patreon. It's the second time I've mentioned it in the same thing. But I think mail is different now. Like, I think mail is more welcome. It's quaint. Don't email me things. For the love of God. Every fucking thing on the planet is like... Sometimes I just want to email a company and be like, okay, listen, Stumptown, I'd like to buy your coffee online. I'd like to make this a regular habit because I enjoy drinking it and just think it would enhance my life to make this a, you know, it's just a little nice thing I can do for myself is buy myself some of your coffee on a regular basis. However, can I do this without ever getting a fucking email from you? Or are you going to send me an email every day? I think Stumptown sends me an email almost every day. And, you know, most of them I get with the spams and whatnot and the filtering and all that shit. But I'm just like, dude, I don't, even if I wanted an email from you, which I don't think I'd want one every day. Every day. Every day. What is that, Dave Matthews or something? I don't... What has changed for you guys in the last 16 hours that makes you feel like, oh, well, Pete's going to want to hear about this? I know we had this blend before, but now it's 20% off. He could save $2. Oh, my God. Start the presses. Send out an email blast like you wouldn't believe. I saw a job description for the place I work that's like a e-marketing kind of thing. And it said something about e-blasts or something like that. Or e-blasting. And I was like, what is that? And it was like email blasts. And I was like, oh, okay. I know I've never heard it called like an e-blast before. But I was that sounds like something they give you because you go to the doctor and you have epididymitis or something. They're like, oh, we're going to give you an e-blast booster and then send you on your way. But, yeah, so I don't know. Email me, or mail me stuff. Email me nothing. Do not send me an email. Here's the only emails I ever want to get from anyone ever. Hey, nice job on X. I really enjoyed X. You're the best. That is a fine email to send. But if it's anything other than that, feel free to not send me that email. Don't send me that shit in the mail either, but, you know, send me gifts, send me presents, send me money in the mail. Feel free to send me mail. Oh, God. The last topic that I wrote down that Andy Rooney discussed is the N-word. Why was Andy Rooney talking about this? Like, why? I wonder what his take on it was But more than that, I wonder if he started by saying, here's why I'm talking about this. Because, you know, sometimes he'd be like, I was out with some friends and they are. And you'd like, okay, he's introducing me to this topic. But that one, I'm like, boy, what? I just don't see that coming up a lot in his life. You know, like, what context is Andy Rooney going to be like, well, I was seeing a rap performance by this young man named Tyler the Creator, and I didn't really know what I was watching most of the time, and frankly was sort of frightened and felt a light fizzing in my penis region just because of the mixed emotions. And but throughout he was using the N-word, and here's how I feel about that. I don't really have feelings about that either way, because I'm kind of like, you know, I think it's a personal choice. You got to make your choice. I guess I'm not a huge fan. It's kind of funny. We were talking about this because, so Poonmaster Flex has been watching The Gilmore Girls, which I've seen some of, and it's not bad. I'm here to tell you. But they say things in that show sometimes like retarded and gay. And so Poonmaster Flex was telling me that one funny little bit of trivia about the show is that so when it went on to Netflix, they like ADR'd a line that someone says that was like a throwaway line about the Beatles playing Madison Square Garden in like 1963, and they changed it to 1965 because that was the accurate date. And it's like, okay, well, no one... Most people aren't going to know that, and also, even if I did know that, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to get up in arms. I mean, like, are Gilmore Girls fans, like, fucking Star Wars fans or something, where they're like, oh my god, the continuity. How will the show survive? Oh my god, this dickhead behind me is really fucking me over. Okay, anyway. So you got your Gilmore Girls, right? Your Rorys, your Loreleis. And, they say things like gay and retarded on there. Like, oh, what kind of retarded idea is that? And so, you know, the point Poonmaster Flex was making, which is true, is she's like, why would you change the Beatle things and not take, like, retarded out? That seems like the more logical thing to do. And I'm like, you're not wrong. However, I don't think that those things should go, because I think that, like, something that was made in a time can be of its time, and that's okay. And, like, the way that show works, too, is sort of, like, it's very of its time in terms of, like, fashion and manner of speaking and ways that TV shows were made and so on and so forth. And so, like, if you sort of tried to redo it that way, you tried to redo it for today's sensitivity, I don't think that that would make sense. Because the thing is, like, that is what that character... So that character is living in, let's say, 1994 or something. I don't even know when that show was on. But let's say 1997. If that character in 1997 wanted to call someone stupid, they would probably use the word retarded. That's, like, authentic to what is happening on the show. So, I mean, I'm not, like, necessarily saying, oh, it would be a travesty if they did that and what a loss to history. I'm just saying, like, I don't know, man. Like, things were made with the way things were at the time, and... You can't change that. You can't change the fact that at one time people said retarded instead of stupid. They came out with a version of Huckleberry Finn that had no N-words in it. They called him, like, Slave Jim, I think, instead, which I was like, well, that's way better. But and I get why they did it, because, like, they make you read this book in school, so it's like, yeah, I mean, I would probably... It would probably be weird to read that in school and to be like, Jesus Christ, how many fucking N-words are you going to put in this book? Like, it's pretty crazy. However, my take on that also is like, eh, maybe don't assign that one in high school. Maybe that's not a high school book. Like, maybe the rampant N-words are a good disqualifier of that from like, yeah, maybe read something else instead. Just read some other Mark Twain thing. I'm sure there's something else you could go for that's just fine. That, you know, hey, are you, you're looking for an old-timey book for kids to dislike? There are many. There are so many. It would blow your fucking imagination right out of your head. And many of them don't even contain one N-word. You can do a quick find and replace or whatever. Just do Phantom of the Opera. That was boring as fuck. Oh my god, Phantom of the Opera. Read that book for book club. Terrible. Terrible, terrible book. I'm mad that somebody did that. That, what's his name? Gustav? Can't remember. Gaston. Something like that. I'm mad that he made that book. Because he made it and then I had to read it. And that is a travesty. That is a crime. It's a crime to have someone like me, who values their own time, read something like that. Like, to have written something like that that then I passed before my eyes, thinking it was something of value. I was led to believe it was of value, and then this is what you give me? Gaston Leroux. That's his name. I know that sounds like a name of somebody in, like, a Disney film. Specifically Beauty and the Beast. But, whatever. I would love to do a remake of Beauty and the Beast that's, like, the Gaston story. Because they've done a lot of these that are, like, remakes, you know, like Grendel from Beowulf. Or, like, Wicked. But I really think the Gaston story is a good one. Because it's sort of like, hey, man, look, Gaston was probably, like, 19, so of course he was an asshole. But, I mean, he's just, you know, he thinks that, like, he's pretty great, and so does everyone else except for Belle, right? Doesn't everyone else like this guy? So he's, like, confused. I was very confused because I thought I was doing her a big favor by whatever. And when I went into the woods and discovered she was, in fact, being held against her will by a literal monster, I had cause for concern. And when you hear the story that way, you're like, might be something to this Gaston. Because it's like, yeah, I went into the woods and she was stuck there with barf from space balls. And I started thinking like, you know, something about this is rubbing me the wrong way. Seems like maybe this doesn't seem right. I'm in a Disney movie, and it seems like the guy who is a monster, who's forcing a beautiful young woman to stay at his castle, and is yelling at her all the time, that's usually the bad guy. Seems like that's the bad guy. And then it's like, oh, well, he's got a softness in his heart, and it's like, I guess so. But isn't this also, like, this is the guy who also was turned into a beast because, like, an old witch came to his house and he thought she was ugly and was like, no, I'm not going to help you because you're an old hag. And you're like, oh, well, I'm real invested in that guy's redemption. Gaston is obviously an asshole, but this guy who got turned into a monster because he basically told an old woman to fuck off. Oh, well, he's pretty fine. He's all right. I'm hoping to see him have a comeback and be redemptive, but Gaston, that's a bridge too far. I have feelings. I can't just ignore the fact that sometimes there are feelings that are in me that I can feel. Okay? So there you go. That somehow that was my talk about the N-word, I guess. Was talking about Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. I don't actually think Gaston was misunderstood. I just think that you could tell that story and it would work. Like, I think that story kind of works. If it works for the Wicked Witch of the West, who was like, I mean, come on, she had little, like, demon hellspawn monkeys flying around. let's be realistic. She's like, oh, I was so victimized. Really? Really? This all comes about because that's how I felt about Phantom of the Opera. Because Phantom of the Opera is, like, kind of trying to make you feel bad for the Phantom. Because it's like, oh, well, he was so ugly and his mom, like, wouldn't kiss him or whatever. And his dad basically had nothing. And it was all his mom's fault, apparently. Although his dad, it was just like, and his dad just went to work and kind of ignored him. You're like, well, seems like there were two parents fucking about here, but okay. But so you sort of are set up to feel bad for him, except by the time you get this backstory, you've been sort of witness to he hanged some guy for the terrible crime of discovering that, you know, he was doing something also bad and illegal. And he, like, dropped a fucking chandelier on some lady who had the audacity to get a job at the opera house. You know, this lady was going to replace somebody the Phantom liked. And so he's like, well, I'm going to just drop a fucking chandelier on her. You know, imprison some lady, puts these other two guys in a torture chamber that lasts for like three chapters. And I think it's like the chapter is called The Torture Chamber. I mean, and then after all this, you're supposed to sort of feel bad for him. And I'm like, I mean, you know, he's like, I just want to experience, like, what everyone else experiences, which is, like, love and affection. I'm like, I'm kind of with you on that, as far as, like, yeah, I think most people are deserving of love and affection, but, I don't know, man. I don't know how hard I can advocate for you, the Phantom, and your desire for love and affection when you, like, dropped a chandelier on a lady. That was pretty fucked up. Maybe there's redemption for you, but I'm not sure. I'm not totally confident. Not as confident in you as I am in Gaston, which says something. All right, everybody. That's it. We ran through the list. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Hey, if you've got an extra minute, you should go over to Lit Reactor, find something I've written, and leave a comment on it. Just do that. That's the best way you can help Pete at this point in his life. You know, I've got such low expectations. That's all I'm really hoping for. That's all I would advocate for. It's all I deserve. It's a pittance. Just a little bit of your time would make all the difference in the world.
Let's talk about two times.
All right.
Let's talk about the
see you next time.
One, yeah. Asking the questions. Nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony?